T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yep, you're wondering who Bruce is? That was Bruce. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. It's been an exciting day around here. We did get a Bruce story earlier on in the show. You can always download the Maggie and Perloff podcast if you miss any part of the show. That's a good way to go back and find things that we've already talked about. We've talked a lot about the Cowboys today, Perloff, and rightfully so. They beat the Giants last night. Now they move to 2-1 on the season, and all is not lost.
And they're going to be favored against three-point favorites against the Commanders on DraftKings. Hey, they could easily be 3-1 with no Dak Prescott.
How about that? And yeah, everyone who said sky is falling Cowboys will have to reassess their arguments. Not like me. I've been on the Cowboys this whole time.
Just beware. I have a lot of friends who are Cowboys fans. This can take you to some bad places.
Well, hopefully not. And hopefully Dak Prescott's back soon. Although Cooper Rush has done an admirable job holding the fort. And really the play calling, too. You know, CeeDee Lamb has a beautiful catch in the end zone last night for one-handed grab, making up for a bad drop that he had at the end of the first half of the game. So you love to see someone rebound like that and make it right. And you know what? You could say the Giants aren't a great opponent, but who's on your schedule.
Yeah, but let's remind everyone, the Giants are not a great opponent. It was in New York, so that makes it a little more impressive.
And primetime.
But the first half of the game, you could not watch that and say, wow, these are two subpar football teams.
I'd say that about a lot of teams I've seen, though, through 3 weeks. The offense in a lot of places has just been really anemic. So
that's probably true. But you didn't get the sense there was any explosiveness on either of these offenses until the very end. The Giants, Saquon Barkley looks great, but is that a formula for winning? I've always noticed that guys like Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, they have big numbers and they get big contracts, but that doesn't result in wins. Ezekiel Elliott, he's not leading the many wins. So if Saquon Barkley continues to be so good, are they going to pay him and is that going to do anything? I don't know where this is all going.
It's a massive dilemma for the Giants. I can't imagine with this new regime that they're going to pay him. This is not the regime that drafted him. The ownership is obviously still the same, but this is someone who's now in a contract year. And I can't imagine there's the same loyalty that would have been there if the last general manager was still making decisions. You know, sometimes people double down on things like that just to prove they were right, and it ends up just doing the franchise a disservice.
So how do you reconcile the reality of the salary cap and what's going to happen with him and the feel-good story of the year in Saquon Barkley? And he's looked amazing.
I think what you do, and this is how I would approach it if I were running a front office, is I make a competitive offer, but not more than $1 that I'm willing to live with myself and look myself in the mirror. And I tell my fan base, listen, we made a really competitive offer for Saquon and, you know, see if someone else tops it. And if someone else tops it, you say, thank you, but someone else, you know, did better and we draft another running back, not second overall, somewhere later on in the draft where normally running backs get taken.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be in good position probably. I know they're 2-1. They'll probably be in good position to get a quarterback this year.
Yeah, they're going to be looking for one.
Four or five first-round guys, I think they're going to be in a good spot.
So we're going to play a little game, and well, it's not really a game. It's Maggie and Perloff's top five quarterbacks of the moment. So what we like about this is we're not bringing in all time here. This isn't a Brady, Rodgers, da-da-da-da-da. No. This is just in the moment. Who are our top five quarterbacks now that week three is completely in the books? So, Perloff, why don't you start us off? Your fifth best quarterback of the moment is who?
I reserve the number five spot for somebody who I think needs to get some attention, even if he's not statistically dominating, and that's Jacoby Brissett in Cleveland. And the reason I have them there is because they didn't play last Sunday. They played on Thursday. People forget this guy's been remarkably solid, much like the Cowboys narrative, where they're holding the fourth down without their star quarterback. Brissett doesn't just look like he's holding the fourth down. He looks good. He looks better than at least 12 or 13 starters in the NFL. He's making plays while on the move. He's keeping drives alive. Last week, he was 21 for 31, 220 yards, two TDs. Very clean against the Steelers. So my number five is Jacoby Brissett.
Okay, my number five is someone new to my top five. Did not have him on the list last week, so he cracks my top five. And that is your boy Jalen Hurts, Perloff. How about Jalen Hurts, 22 for 35, 340 yards, three touchdowns, only nine rushes for 20 yards. This guy is, you know, despite the reputation, this guy's pocket passer. You know, this is a pass-first quarterback, Jalen Hurts. They put a beat down on the Commanders. Everyone feels good, bit, you know, to put Carson Wentz in his place. Probably the most disliked person in Philadelphia right now is Carson Wentz, and the most loved person in Philadelphia is Jalen Hurts. So Jalen Hurts, fifth on my list.
How can Jalen Hurts be fifth on
it's
your list?
My
You're telling
list.
Me there are four quarterbacks ahead of Jalen Hurts?
I will make the case. Go ahead. Who's number four?
Obviously, I have Jalen Hurts a lot higher. Okay, my number four is Cooper Rush. I'm stealing from you. You had Cooper Rush on the list last week.
I did.
I tweeted last night, is it too late for me to get on that Cooper Rush bandwagon? Because you know I love a competent backup quarterback.
Especially one with red hair.
Oh, he is
this
really,
is speaking
really
your
good.
Language right now.
And I love his humility and his aw-shucks attitude. After the game, he ran into the locker room not knowing he had to do the post-game interview with Lisa Salters. He just has no idea what he's doing here. He's just out there being Cooper Rush from Central Michigan. He obviously looks really good. Now, he has about 220 yards per game. I'm not confusing him with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But he is definitely impressive. I'm very curious. I know he's on your list somewhere. I want to get him in four because I have a feeling you might have him even higher. So what's your number four?
My number four is Trevor Lawrence, 28 for 39, 262, the three touchdowns, no picks. Trevor Lawrence, this is going to be a mainstay on Maggie's quarterbacks of the moment. This is like the Trevor Lawrence coming out party that everyone was hoping we would see. And I'm just glad it's happening earlier, I think, than we expected it. I thought most people would say, oh, like mid-season, something like that. We'll see, you know, Trevor Lawrence really make his impact. No, right out of the gate. Week three, he's already had two back-to-back awesome performances, and he wasn't terrible in week one, too, so as well. So Trevor Lawrence, number four on my list.
Yeah, I can top that.
Who do you have number three?
Trevor Lawrence.
There you go.
And everything you just said is true. Six touchdowns, one interception. Is this the Doug Peterson effect? I
think it's the Trevor Lawrence effect. I think it's the not Urban Meyer effect.
Well, I said something before the year that I stole from Greg Cosell, who is a media member who watched the film. Trevor Lawrence definitely has some Carson Wentz in him. They look alike. They throw the ball similar. That's not an insult. Carson Wentz has some of those athletic quarterback plays you'll ever see. Doug Peterson came in and helped Carson Wentz be an MVP candidate. And this sure feels a little bit like the 2017 Eagles, just out of nowhere, very efficient offense. Does that sound like too big of a stretch? I know you're
no.
a pro Jaguars.
I'm a big believer in what they're doing in Jacksonville. And you know what? Some of the criticism now seems a little silly. Like, I don't know how good Trayvon Walker's going to be, but he looks very good so far. That was a question mark. They stuck to their guns. They took him number one overall. And then the overpaying in free agency. I know a lot of teams have gotten burned by that, but if guys end up living up to the contract, so what? So you overpaid. If it takes you to the playoffs, who cares?
Well, okay, they're not in the playoffs. Yeah, well,
no, but
that's a little
see.
Early. The Christian Kirk thing is working out better than we thought. Everybody ripped that.
Yeah, Zay Jones too. Okay, who's number three on your list?
Number three on my was Trevor Lawrence. So it's
oh,
up
yeah,
to your
sorry.
Number three.
Yeah. I'm up. Apologies. Number three on my list, the new Red Rifle, Cooper Rush. Moves up from number four on my list from last week.
How
now
dare
he's
you.
Number three. And I'm just impressed. I'm impressed by not just Cooper Rush, but the offensive play calling. I mean, trusting a backup quarterback fourth and four on the road, gotta have it play. He connects with CeeDee Lamb, and then later on in that drive, they score the touchdown. Just impressed that the guy's able to come in and help save, along with the defense, I know that, in the run game, but help save what was a season, most people were pouring dirt on.
Wow, to beat Daniel Jones and the New York Giants, move over Roger Staubach. There's a new hero. Okay, number two. So everybody's praising Lamar Jackson. I don't need to do it. We know how brilliant he's been this season. A couple numbers. He has 10 touchdowns. If you extrapolate that out, is that the right word? Basically, yeah. If you do a little math, which I had to do today, and it was very hard.
Yeah.
He's on pace
for
56.6 touchdowns. So let's round up to 57. The all-time record was 2013, Peyton Manning with 55. Now, we know the Ravens have no running backs. J.K. Dobbins is supposedly back, but it doesn't feel like he's back. So who's going to get the ball in the red zone? It's going to be either Lamar throwing or Lamar running. He could easily have just a gigantic number of touchdowns. What happens in a year where Aaron Judge is betting on himself and setting the home run record? What if Lamar Jackson sets a touchdown record?
I absolutely love it. And yeah. Number two on my list, also Lamar Jackson. Yeah. I didn't have the fancy numbers. I didn't extrapolate anything out. But I do love that. And this could be, yeah, this is the year of betting on yourself, which would be amazing.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. And
Lamar's going to end up with a franchise tag, so I think.
I think, but he might be uncomfortable with that franchise tag. It's going to be funny to watch the Ravens try and figure this out because they didn't want to pay the $230 guarantee because they didn't want to put all that money in escrow. Now it's going to be even more. It should be a great offseason story. All right, my number one. I mean, is there any mystery who my number one is? Just kind of throw some stats at you about Jalen Hurts, the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback. He completed 5 passes of at least 40 yards all of last year. 22nd among NFL quarterbacks. He's already matched that total in 3 games this year. He is throwing the ball deep. He is throwing the ball short. He is throwing the ball accurately. He is running all over the field. He is just rewriting the Eagles' statistical book as far as running and passing. I think he's the favorite for MVP right now. He's going to have to fend off your guy Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. But if he keeps this up, then again, who did he play, Mike? I can't remember who was on that list. The Lions, Washington, and someone else.
The Vikings.
But we'll see. We'll see. I'm just so encouraged by him. To me, he really feels like the quarterback of the moment, and he took the entire second half off against Washington, which I appreciate. He saved his energy.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah, number 5 for him was kind of an insult to the whole city of Philadelphia, but no problem.
Well, allow me to be a bit insulted because, drum roll, please. Number 1 on my list is obviously Josh Allen, who didn't even make your list this week. Who's more insulted? Your quarterback cracked my top 5. Josh Allen is number 1 on my list. I'm even more impressed by what he did in Miami, even though they didn't win the game. Yes. 42 for 63. 400 yards, the 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, yet they ran 90 offensive plays. 90. No interceptions there. He also had 8 carries for 47 yards in basically a game where he couldn't stand up at the end. The reason why I put Josh Allen as the front, and Lamar and Josh Allen are right there 1-1A because they're the offense. You know, like these other guys are, you know, running the offense, no doubt, and they're doing it in a really great way. But these guys are the offense. Like, you can't take Josh Allen off the Bills. You would have you wouldn't even have close to the team that they have right now. Same with Lamar Jackson. I don't know. I mean, do you think Gardner Minshew could come in and win you some games? Probably. So, no disrespect to Jalen Hurts, who was number 5 on my list, but Josh Allen, to me, number 1 far and away. They obviously they rely on him too much.
I kind of don't understand the list now because he lost this week, and he had one of the worst plays of his entire career. He's going to look back at that pass he missed. I think this was a bad week for Josh Allen. Maybe the worst week he's had in a long time.
No, I see it the other way.
Wait, how can you possibly see this as a good week? Number 1 on your list?
The statistical separation. Nobody ever loses a game where you beat your opponent by that many in that many statistical categories. Right, it never happens. This was like an anomaly game with the heat stroke and the backups. And Josh Allen was, quite frankly, the only person keeping him in that game. So, yeah, he goes to number 1 on my list. What I think is interesting is who fell out of my top 5 this week? Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, Jimmy G, and Tua. I had all of those guys last week in my top 5, and none of them made the top 5 this week.
Yeah, I mean, 3 of those guys aren't going to make the top 5 for a long time. Yeah. But wait, let me just get to the rules of this top 5 list.
There are no rules. It's top 5 of the moment.
Does it reset every week?
Yes,
it does.
It resets every week.
So just to be clear, you're saying Josh Allen was the top quarterback of the moment from this week.
I was more impressed by what I saw even in a loss.
That can't be true.
I watched the game. It is true. He's everything in the offense. Again, that might be to their detriment.
That's going to be the worst game of his season. And yes, he threw 400 yards. He had to throw the ball 63 times.
I know, 90 plays. 90 plays.
That was clearly, of his 3 games this year, by far the worst.
Well, I mean, the Titans game, he was off the field with 5 minutes left to go in the third quarter.
Right, and he was number 1. So
he was number 2 on my list, though.
So what is it going to have to do to knock him off your list?
Well, it resets every week.
Okay.
I start with a clean slate every week.
Okay.
I don't know. I might be a little jaded here, but I'm starting to question the validity and the integrity of your lists. Between Maggie's most intriguing, making the top list of lists, the fact that the Bills were the most interesting team heading into the 2022 season.
That's just facts.
The Jalen Hurts number one this week. Josh Allen number one on your list. I'm starting to question whether or not
this is journalistic integrity.
I didn't have Josh Allen
last week. You had Jalen Hurts number one 2 weeks in a row.
No. I had Josh Allen one last week.
Oh, maybe you did.
Yeah, I had Jalen Hurts number two.
And Tua is not on either of your lists. Maggie, I feel like that's just sour grapes on your part.
I put Tua on my list last week.
And what did he do this week that would knock him off?
Well, I mean, he only had 18 attempts. And I know he came back in and played admirably with a back injury, but he was like 12 for 18.
Back injury.
I know you're using air quotes there. So the latest now coming out of Miami, I love how like nobody believes. And this is usually my lane. You guys are the ones who sound like me now. Tua saying that his back, basically it's affecting every single part of him trying to play quarterback, trying to get ready for a game on Thursday. And he's doing everything he can to get ready for the Bengals on Thursday.
There's a realistic chance. I mean, everyone thinks he had a concussion because he was wobbling. The same hit that gives you a concussion could easily mess up your back.
No doubt.
You know, your neck snaps, who knows? So
Neck snaps.
Yeah, that's what happens. You know, basically, you know what a concussion is, right?
No, I do.
It's a brain rattling around like a ping pong ball. So I think that, yeah, Tua definitely, I do believe he's having a back problem, but that does not mean it was not a concussion. Because you don't wobble like that when you have a back issue, because that would just make your back a lot worse.
Listen, I'm with you. He's not even in the concussion protocol, because that wouldn't make a lot of sense.
No, you can.
If he got back into the game on Sunday, how would he then on Monday land in the concussion protocol? Like, it, now they kind of have to go with this.
It's such a, people I think are underestimating what an uphill climb this game is on Thursday for the Dolphins. No reflection of the quality of their team. And this would be a feat. If they could come out of that Bills game with that heat and play defense for that long and hold up on a short week, that's unbelievable.
Well, can I also add another part? I 100% agree with you. And can I add another part in too? This hurricane that is like barreling down on Florida and on, I know it's like, well, whatever. This is going to be a massive storm. Doesn't that also affect these players and how they're preparing for a game? Like, just because you leave to go to Cincinnati doesn't mean your whole family is at home dealing with this awful storm. You have no idea what you're coming home to. You have no idea when can you get out of Cincinnati and get back to Florida.
Yeah.
Like, all of that stuff, I think, would play such, that would be such a mind bleep and be so nerve-wracking. I don't think we're factoring in that part of it as well.
Yeah, this is a weird hurricane, and I don't want to get anything wrong here, but I guess there hasn't been a major hurricane that's hit Tampa Bay in 100 years. Did you see? Like, the hurricanes always come up on the east side.
Of course, yeah.
In Miami. This one happens to be hitting hardest in Tampa Bay, which is weird. And Tampa Bay is not really set up for hurricanes like this. So they're really worried about that city. I hope Miami is a little bit out of it, but I don't know at all.
Well, right now, I guess maybe they are, because right now the Bucks did go to Miami to practice, right? Oh, man.
Yeah, and it's,
games,
I didn't know that
college either. Games have already been moved up.
Yeah, I had no idea. Hurricanes rarely come through that side of the Gulf. Tampa Bay hasn't been demolished by a hurricane. It's a really scary thing. So, yeah, Tom Brady, I remember that thing about how he was skipping Wednesday practice. Yeah. He better not skip Wednesday practice this week.
Well, what do you do? Do you evacuate your family? Like, what do you, I mean, I know these guys have the means, so, you know, it's not like a regular average person like you or I, but still, that's got to be weighing on you so heavily.
Oh, 100%. I mean, they're professionals. Yeah, I don't know about Miami in this case. Maybe a lot of the young players might not have family there, so maybe it's not a problem, but you're right. There's just a lot stacked against the Dolphins on Thursday night, which will set up an even more dramatic victory if they can do it.
That's true. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So we'll tweet out our quarterback top five of the moment. You're welcome to weigh in.
Completely unbiased top five of the moment.
You know, listen.
No bias just, here.
Listen, how can we really be called homers when both the quarterbacks and teams we root for also happen to be like 1-2 in the MVP odds? And we both put Lamar Jackson second. So yeah. It's not like we're being so hot takey over here, you know?
I mean, The Bills did lose 21-19. I really wouldn't have looked at that game as the quarterback of the week.
Half the team had heat stroke. They're lucky that Josh Allen could even walk after that.
How many times does Josh Allen not get the 20 points? If you could make him number one this week.
I know. See, this is where I go against the grain. Perloff is going to go against the grain next. We'll do that in just a moment. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 158, and the free Odyssey app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back on Maggie and Perloff. You know, for me as an NBA fan, a 76ers fan, this is a great time. I'm just sitting back, watching other teams around the league go through their drama. It feels relaxing. You know, James Harden lost weight. The 76ers look great. But I feel like all the sort of big-name franchises have crazy issues around them this offseason, or at least negative issues.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama. Obviously, the headliners there, I think, would be Boston and Phoenix. You know, they're dealing with some really serious things there, which is obviously Boston, their head coach has been suspended for a year for an inappropriate relationship. And then in Phoenix, the owner is being forced to sell because of a toxic work environment that he helped create.
Well, I would say also the Nets and the Lakers also been a consistent generator of negative headlines.
Yeah, I saw something interesting about the Lakers the other day, and I'm bummed that I didn't think of this. Mm. And it was from the podcast Basketball Illuminati, and they painted out the picture of, think about what the Lakers are doing. All they're doing is bringing in players who notoriously have issues with Russell Westbrook.
To like, try and push him out.
To try to like smoke him out, basically, or maybe have him take a buyout. But it might be the joke's on them, because now it seems like him and Pat Beverly have become really good friends. And apparently he doesn't have a good relationship or didn't with Dennis Schroeder. So it's like bringing in guys who play in your position who you also don't get along with try to like, I don't know, get him to force like to take a buyout. I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, you know, the Lakers are getting really good at getting guys who are six or 7 years beyond their peak. Dennis Schroeder and Pat Beverly are consistent with their recent Carmelo Anthony model of player acquisition.
They're not that old.
Beverly's pretty old. How old do you think Beverly is?
Well, Beverly was just on the Timberwolves team. That was a feel-good story. Remember, they won the play-in game and celebrated like they just won the NBA title?
Pat Beverly's 34. I think he's older than... How old is Carmelo now? 37?
Yeah, something like that.
But anyway, I mean, Pat Beverly's obviously done. He's more of a broadcaster than a basketball player at this point. I mean, he'll probably get under someone's skin.
He might come after you for saying that.
I mean, 34. That's really old in NBA terms. And the Nets are just they're a mess.
Yeah, the Nets are a mess. Of course they are. Let's listen to some from Media Day yesterday. Here's Kevin Durant, who is talking about and was asked why he requested a trade from Brooklyn.
You've seen what happened with our season, guys in and out the lineup, injuries, just a lot of uncertainty, which built some doubt in my mind about the next 4 years of my career. I mean, I'm getting older, and I want to be in a place that's stable, trying to build a championship culture. So I had some doubts about that. My whole thing was I wanted everybody to be held accountable, and I think a lot of stuff was getting swept under the rug because we're injured or this guy's not around or just the circumstances. I thought we could have fought through that a little bit more, focused on the guys that were here a little bit more. Championship teams do that.
Man, I guess I see what he's saying there, but like holding people accountable, the coach does that. Don't the players and don't the star players do that too? Like if you want to try to hold Kyrie Irving accountable for not getting the vaccine and not being able to play for a lot of the season. I mean, you two teamed up. I'm not saying like you're his babysitter, but you guys teamed up together. Like you're in this together more than Steve Nash, the coach of the Nets, is ever in it. The other thing too is, I mean, James Harden, like that's another thing where I felt like Kevin Durant should have had some, like, yeah. Does he bear any responsibility in this at all?
If you're watching on TV, the look on your face is...
Baffled.
Yeah, don't waste any mental energy trying to figure out the Nets. Kevin Durant was basically saying, I'm surrounded by a bunch of losers. And the truth is, he's a loser too. That is a bunch of losers in Brooklyn. I live in Brooklyn. I'd be shocked. I don't want to hear it from him. He's right, by the way. The team around him gave no effort last year. They were just terrible. It was him or nothing in the playoffs against Boston. It was pathetic, the lineups they had around him, basically a G League roster in Kevin Durant. So I understand his frustration. Okay, I understand why he wanted out. Is he responsible? Probably too. Yeah, he's part of the problem.
Oh my God. I mean, could the roster have had a little more depth if he hadn't insisted or been part of the team that pushed to get James Harden out of Houston in the first place? Maybe you would have had Jared Allen. You would have had Spencer Dinwiddie. You would have still had these picks. Maybe if that trade doesn't go down, maybe you have a little bit more depth. Like, you can't just act like you're this hands-off, oh my gosh, I can't believe the team did this. You're a superstar player. You know the power that you have.
Yeah.
He used it to get Harden there. This is disingenuous.
I wouldn't blame him for that. So you're blaming him for the Harden trade?
Definitely.
Oh, God.
I mean, I don't know how much he had to like twist the front office's arm to get James Harden, but he definitely was the one who was pushing for it, I think. I do think that, yes.
Oh, this is probably the most... There are a lot of unlikable teams right now, but this is definitely the most unlikable team.
Yeah, I want to like Durant so badly.
I know we came in with a bunch of Kyrie sound. Like, how do this? Reminds me of Antonio Brown. Like, we're just going to keep on giving oxygen to Kyrie's idiotic statements for the rest of time until he retires.
Yeah, but I mean, Kyrie, different than Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's been, like, accused of some really bad stuff. Not anything like... Kyrie has not been accused of anything like that.
Right, but...
He's just a quirky... crazy.
I don't know. I think he's become kind of a negative character.
I would say that's probably true also. Yeah. You can't be putting Alex Jones stuff on your Instagram. Yeah, that is really not okay.
That really bothered me. But it's consistent with the fact that it's times he sounds great and sounds like such a cool dude, but other times he just really says the wrong thing. And he owes a lot to the game. I know he didn't play because of the vaccine, but he has so much talent that it feels like he's frittering away.
I know. It's really a shame there.
Yeah, frittering, not a very cool word, by the way.
You're going to fritter away your talent.
Fritter away your talent. My grandfather would say that. Anyway.
So more dysfunctional NBA teams. This one comes from Marcus Smart, and obviously he's the starting point guard for the Boston Celtics, who have been turned upside down over the last couple of days because of the inappropriate relationship their coach had with someone who worked for the Celtics. And Marcus Smart was talking about how recently, Ime Udoka came out to California and like was with some of his players.
He came to see me in LA, see a couple players in LA. So like I said, we got caught off guard just like everybody else.
Did it seem like anything was up or?
Not to me. You know, so that's why it's so off guard for us, because everything was just seemed so normal.
Yeah, I have a major problem with that. I think that's really disingenuous by Udoka. So we know now, because the owner of the Celtics said that the investigation and the outside law firm they brought in was like months or weeks, like months ago, right? That they got tipped off to this. It was like in July. So they get tipped off to like go see your players and not and act like nothing is wrong and then let them be blindsided by this news. To me, that feels like such a lie of omission on Udoka's part. Like, why wouldn't he, if you're going to go out, either don't go out and see them at all, or if you are going to go out there, maybe say like, listen, I might be facing something here. I might, you know.
Well, I think if you say that, then you have to tell them the story. But
so
if
be honest with them, but or don't go out there.
Maybe Udoka, it was still under investigation. Maybe he didn't think it was going to come out. And if it wasn't going to come out, of course he wouldn't. There's no reason for him to tell that personal detail to the players about a fellow Celtics employee. He shouldn't be telling them that unless he knew it was going to come out. And maybe he thought it wasn't going to come out. It's none of their business otherwise.
No, I mean, but that's delusional. If you have an outside law firm who's coming in and doing an investigation, the idea that none of your players would find out, whether you're cleared or not cleared, the idea that no one would find out, I think, is being pretty naive for someone who spent this much time in the NBA.
Yeah, but I don't think I think that he might have wanted to protect the other person involved here and not get her involved in this.
Well, you don't have to say who it is.
Okay.
But that's again, naive. You're rolling your eyes. Like, of course they would
find out.
But
the other part is like, I mean, it's a coach and players, right? Like, where is that line? Like, what personal details he needs to tell them?
Coaches don't tell players things. Players tell coaches things, right?
100%, right? So, like, I don't find it maybe delusional that he didn't think it was going to come out, but even if it is delusional, I don't think he owed it to the players to tell them anything. He's out there. He's doing what he's doing. Even if it does come out, whether it's their business or not, he doesn't have to tell them. And he doesn't know what the punishment's going to be. He doesn't know that, like, hey, this thing's going to come out. Yeah. I'm going to be suspended for the year, maybe lose my job. He's thinking, okay, this thing's going to happen. Like, when it comes out, I'll deal with it when it happens.
I'm just going to, then maybe just a little life hack for all of us here. When they bring in an outside law firm to investigate you and you know you're guilty, right? This isn't a mistake. Like, oh my gosh, it's a mistake. Like, I wasn't any part of this. They bring in the outside law firm. That's the first sign that you're in big freaking trouble.
Yeah, it happened to Dan Snyder and nothing happened to him.
But he owns the team. Udoka doesn't own the team.
We're sitting here right now. We guilty of what, though? We don't even know.
An inappropriate relationship. That's what we know. Enough to warrant a year-long suspension that he might never come back from with the Celtics. I don't know if he get hired somewhere else.
Okay, but we don't know what was
the problem. We don't know the details, but again, if it's inappropriate enough that he got suspended for a year, then he knows that he was involved. Like, he wasn't an innocent party here.
I mean, if it was just an affair in the office, of course he's not going to tell the players. He has no right to do it, and he has no reason. Coaches don't put their their problems on the players. Yeah, I know a law firm was there, but 99% of inappropriate relationships inside NBA front offices do not involve a law firm. That doesn't.
Right, that's how you know it's real serious.
So, yeah, so but what?
But we
don't know what happened. That's my point.
No, we don't know what happened, but that's why I probably wouldn't go out to California and act like everything's okay with my players and what, crossing my fingers and hoping that nothing comes out? Because look at what's happening now. They're all blindsided and they're all feeling really duped and feeling really betrayed by their coach because it's a couple weeks before the season and they now have to start with an interim coach who's literally never coached an NBA game before. It's a team who's hoping to go back to the finals.
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
Like, it ended up doing more damage.
Well, here's the other question. Like, do we know that they feel duped and deceived? Like, yeah, they didn't know. They found out on Twitter, all these things. But, like, you know, after Marcus Smart said what he said there, he also said, we're still behind him. We still love him. He's still our guy. Right? We went to the finals with him. It doesn't change what we've done with him. So, like, yeah, maybe they're a little upset that they didn't know about it. But also, maybe they understand why they didn't know.
Okay.
And
so last week when the owner and the head coach were up there and they were asked Brad Stevens, how are the players taking this? And he said, I'm not going to lie. They're not taking it well. They're not robots and they're not taking this well. There's a lot of emotions there. He didn't have to say that. He could have said everyone's handling it in their own way. He put it out there that everyone was feeling really shaken up by this. And of course they would be.
But I'm not going to feel a second of sympathy for anyone in that organization player until they tell me what happened. Because if there's going to be
feel
some
sympathy for the players,
no,
for finding out at like this,
I don't. Yeah, maybe it's not ideal, but I don't feel bad for the players. They're highly paid professionals. They're going to be fine, and they're probably going to be pretty good.
Well, here's the thing, though. You just added like this major question mark to a season that had super high expectations. It wasn't that long ago the Celtics were like one of the favorites to win the East.
Yeah.
And now you just put a head coach who's never coached a game. I know Ime Udoka was a longtime assistant, so do you think you're going to Lightning's going to strike twice?
Yeah,
there?
It's not like Udoka had 10 championships under his belt. Yeah, they might be fine. It's the NBA.
That's
talent wins
also,
over coaches.
That's my point.
Yeah,
also.
That's what everybody thinks. Of course, it's the NBA, that old stereotype to just roll the ball out and get out of the way. I mean, yeah, do you really downgrade the Celtics?
Do you think Steve Kerr just rolls the ball out and gets out of the way?
I mean, they went like 15-0 with Luke Walton as their head coach before when Steve Kerr was hurt. And
I know, but that's regular season is different than the playoffs. You know that.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Facing a team and one day after the next, the same team, adjustments to adjustments to adjustments, it's different.
I do think there is a stereotype out there that NFL play callers have a lot more impact on a game than NBA coaches.
Well, I'm not going to fight you there.
Yeah, because I think
but you're saying that no impact. You roll the balls out and let Michael Jordan go do his thing. Okay.
That's kind of
it's
the
like
thing.
Pushing guys around.
Yeah. Could Stu Kovacs have coached Michael Jordan to 6 championships?
Doug Collins couldn't.
You know what?
I think he probably could have if they stayed around.
I think Stu Kovacs could have coached Michael Jordan for those third three.
Yeah, not definitely the third three.
The first three, I think that was Phil Jackson really building something up there. Yeah. But that third three, I could have coached Dennis Rodman and Kukoc and that team over.
Well, imagine what Dennis Rodman would have done to Mike Samter. I mean, we once stuffed you into a box.
I would have been out partying with him without showering after games every night.
We put Samter in a box that had a dummy in it because the dummy is taller than Samter. So we thought, could he fit in the box? Turns out he could. What would Dennis Rodman have done to you?
He definitely would have colored my hair and designed something very funky. I feel like Dennis Rodman is the kind that would have taken me under his wing and shown me the ropes and like, hey, here's my Carmen Electra. let me introduce you to her friends also.
You know, to be honest, there's only two ways that could have gone. Uh-huh. Either he takes you under his wing or you become the complete sacrificial lamb.
I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
Or both. By the way, it's so weird to hear Marcus Smart complaining about something. The season even started. That's totally out of character for that guy to be negative and complain about something. It's almost
it wasn't
as if
just him.
Yeah, but I mean, Marcus Smart, I mean, come on. You could get a version of that quote about 17 different things. He is always whining about something.
I thought it was the most revealing, just the fact that Udoka came out there and acted like everything was okay when he knew he was under this investigation. To me, that is weird.
Oh,
that
poor
is...
Celtics players. You know, I'm a Sixers fan.
Yeah.
Poor Jason Tatum is $50 million a year. I hope he can figure out how to play this year. Ben Simmons, this would probably take him out for 3 years. Stop feeling bad for these guys. They're pros, Maggie. They'll figure it out. Joe Mazzulla is probably an amazing coach, by the way.
Well, we're going to find out. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Okay, coming up, Aaron Rodgers making his weekly appearance on McAfee today. We'll bring you what he had to say. It's interesting. You're going to want to hear it. Maggie and Perloff, don't move. Time for a CBS Sports Update. Here's Rich Ackerman.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Maybe one day this will be your Super Bowl halftime show. I know you guys were jonesing for it so much yesterday. You want Bieber instead of Rihanna.
Well, who gets bigger crowds? I talked about this Rihanna thing for 4 hours after the show.
That doesn't surprise me. You were really fired up about it.
Well, yeah, you were saying, you're old, you don't understand Rihanna. Rihanna's 35.
So?
So I'm just saying that it's not like she's some 21-year-old like phenom that came out of nowhere that I don't understand. I've been a Rihanna fan for 10 years.
I know, but Taylor Swift's over 30, too.
Yeah, that one was interesting to me. I just find the Taylor Swift halftime thing so interesting because of the corporate nature of it that they couldn't get her for years because of Pepsi. Now, do I want to see any? No, of course I want to see some weird 2000s Canadian rock band. I want to see Wolf Parade up there. Just
singing into their beer. Crying. So at least we all know that we're going to see a halftime show. I don't know if you guys were like following the story at all about what's going on with the NASA DART.
Yeah, what's going on? You terrify me with a brief glimpse of it.
This is not terrifying. This is revelatory. This is incredible. So obviously, if you're someone like me, you've been concerned that an asteroid might hit the Earth at any moment, and that would be a big time bummer. So NASA got their best people on it, and now they have a new program where it can target an asteroid and it can like knock it off of its trajectory so that Earth is saved.
Wow.
Yeah, Bruce Willis didn't have to die. Everybody in NASA should be taking bows today because they might have just saved humanity.
So they've already executed this.
They just tested it on a different asteroid.
Yeah. No, I'm totally, totally confident in this government program that the money was well spent and it's going to work as intended because it always does. It always does. This is great.
You don't think that this is a great, news.
I think they're more likely to go up there and knock the meteor into a different trajectory that'll go right for New York City.
Wait, so this is like, thank you.
Yeah. Ben Affleck, yeah.
Still never seen this movie, but
I haven't either, but yeah. I know.
I get it.
Neither of you have
seen parts of it.
Goes to get the asteroid and blow it out of the sky, right?
I mean, along with Steve Buscemi and Michael Affleck, Clark right? Dunton and Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck's dating Bruce Willis's daughter in it.
Yes, Liv Tyler.
Yeah. It's Liv Tyler. Yeah, I think I've seen
Steven Tyler's daughter, who's the singer of this song. I mean,
we know. What year is it? We're having this conversation that happened in 1998.
But you guys haven't seen Armageddon, and this is the whole theme of the movie.
Now, there was something tricky. Weren't there two movies that same year that were exactly the same?
Yes, Deep Impact was the other one.
Okay, right.
And I'm sure Sam has seen both and has one on Blu-ray.
I haven't, which is odd because Morgan Freeman was the president of Deep Impact, and he's my favorite actor.
Yeah.
But I did not see it.
A different set of equivalent A-list actors saving the Earth from... And then isn't there a movie out now about the same thing?
Don't Look Up.
Don't Look Up.
And Moonfall with Patrick Wilson is the same exact plot, that the moon is headed towards the United States.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I thought we were safe from the moon.
And there's also, what's the Steve Carell show on HBO?
Space Force,
which is the same plot.
No, this is
great.
It
never works out the way it's supposed to work out, Maggie. This is not good.
No, this is fantastic because before we had no defense against an asteroid hurtling towards Earth, and now we've got a whole thing here. At least we've got a fighting chance.
All right. I'm just nervous. I don't trust NASA.
You don't trust NASA?
I've seen,
If you don't trust NASA.
That's a hot take.
If you don't trust NASA,
Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, right? Maybe you trust Google. If you just Google NASA DART,
I did it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
It knocks the page off. It's
I don't know. I watched Don't Look Up, which was ironically where somebody like Jeff Bezos decided that he had a space force that could knock the meteor off. And of course, it failed terribly.
Well, and it was also just like a satire about climate change. But yes.
Well, right. And it just happened to have a meteor coming our way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a satire. But I don't know. I'm just skeptical. And I don't like this idea that there are meteors heading. Whenever you hear about a meteor, it's like, yes, there's a meteor headed towards Earth, but it's going to be here in 300 years. Usually.
Yeah, no, I think it got a little more serious. Obviously, they needed to, spend some money on this, which, it kind of makes it a little more nerve-wracking. Like, why did you guys need this
special
force here? But I'm glad they have it. Okay. Let's get to Aaron Rodgers.
By the way, Aaron Rodgers would never fall for this NASA propaganda. Never. Not in a million years.
No, he doesn't think NASA even exists, probably. He's like, this is all just a fabrication.
He probably thinks we're living on a meteor right now.
It's hurtling through the Earth. I mean, we kind of are. Okay, so Rodgers was on McAfee today talking about the cryptic sort of message he had about what the Bucks may have revealed to him and to the Packers when they showed the 2-point conversion on the Jumbotron.
I just thought I saw something. I walked down. I relayed it to Matt. Either way, it had nothing to do with the 2-point conversion. There was not an image of like a Microsoft Surface or anything on there. But even if you know something's coming and you relay it, you still got to go out and execute. I mean, I think that was what Spygate was all about, right? Stealing some signals. We still got to go out there and execute the play.
Oh, sweet. So you stole their signals before the game? You already had camera people ahead of time film Tampa Bay Buccaneers stuff, and then you saw it on Jumbotron?
No.
Man, you beat Tom Brady, and then you bring up Spygate in your first like McAfee interview of that week. Just dunk the basketball on Brady's head. Sheesh, Aaron.
Well, basically, I don't understand. Is he saying that he saw... But McAfee said he saw something and relayed what the play was, right?
I thought that he had saw something about the play clock.
So I thought he denied
that. About the delay of game. Yeah.
That he denied that. The whole answer that he's giving, he's talking about a specific play that he sees.
Something about.
Right. So first he talked about timeouts and then something in a play that he relayed to the defense on a certain play, but it had nothing to do with the play clock and or the two-point conversion.
Okay, sure. I mean, now he's just got to cover the tracks. But how about bringing up Spygate?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. If Tom Brady is a Deflategate, I don't think he's too sensitive about Spygate.
I know, but Spygate could have been the reason why Brady won his first Super Bowl with the Patriots.
Wait, what? Oh,
because they were recording the Rams. I mean, I know Spygate was about the Jets, but it was also about just the Patriots recording, which, by the way, they've continued to do and got in trouble for doing this with the Bengals. I don't like think 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think Spygate sticks to Brady. It's paragraph
five. But no doubt he could have benefited from it.
Yeah, Deflategate was such a big deal with Brady that I don't think that Tom's going to get mad at that.
No, probably not. But Tom will find anything to put a chip on his shoulder.
So basically, can we all agree that Aaron Rodgers saw a sign that alerted him to what the play was and he told Matt LaFleur? Then why is Rodgers trying to deny it and brag about it at the same time?
Because it's Aaron Rodgers.
It's the same reason why you don't say, if you catch the signals in baseball, you don't say that you did it. You do it and then you just... So the fact that he said it, he doesn't want to divulge what he saw and then give the Bucks an advantage in the playoffs.
But because he's Aaron Rodgers, he had to say something in the post-game interview because he has to show how smart he is.
But he could have ended up screwing himself over, because what if the Packers have to travel to Tampa for a playoff game coming up later this year? Now the Jumbotron person's going to be super nervous. Anyway, Samter, Stu Kovacs, Marlo Donahue, you guys are all awesome. Thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow. We out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.